Who's that coming down the street? Who's that coming to meet me? Is that too hexy, mamas?
Yeah, that was.
Shut up.
I'm all about trying new things. I'm trying elderberry syrup and I don't like it, but
it works.
It makes me shit.
Everything makes you shit.
No, not everything. Cadbury eggs don't make me shit.
I made my own elderberry syrup the other night.
I saw. I was like, I'll come to you next time I need elderberry syrup.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I made a huge-ass mason jar. I made 20 ounces of it.
I think that's how much I have. I wish it wasn't in a mason jar, though. I kind of wish I had a little, you know those olive oil dispensers?
Oh, uh-huh.
I kind of wish I had something like that.
I mean, I can put it in whatever dish I want.
I kind of wish I had one of those, because it just seems like it might be a little bit
easier.
The
only thing that sucks is if I make it fresh, it has to be in the refrigerator. Whereas if you buy it from, Walmart,
and mine has to be in the fridge.
It doesn't have to be in the fridge.
No, I didn't buy it. Alexis made mine.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I'm saying if you didn't.
You can buy it from a store?
Yeah, I used to buy Killian's from Walmart. I've been buying it from Walmart for months.
I guess there's preservatives in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is there's preservatives in it.
Does Killian like?
He's been taking it for 5 or 6 months, and it makes a huge difference.
I'm trying to get the girls to take it, and they won't.
Makes a huge, he's got horrible allergies.
That's why I want them to take it.
Yeah.
The shiners, I think it works. Under Delilah's eyes, those are allergy shiners.
Yeah.
We had her blood tested for deficiencies, vitamin deficiencies, to see why she had the...
Yeah.
And the lady was like, her blood work looks great. It's probably allergies. Hmm. I was like, I've never fucking heard that.
Yeah, no, Killian was like sick constantly. And I was like, this is allergies. And the reason why elderberry works if you make it rather than buy it better is it's because it's made with local honey. And that's proven
that's
if you just take local honey.
She used like half of our jar of local honey.
Yeah, it takes a lot. It takes
not that I'm complaining. We eat it. JC eats it which I don't understand. JC wants it on everything.
The honey?
The honey. And it's local honey, but she still has allergies.
That is weird.
I don't get it.
Because it should be helping.
Maybe if she didn't have it, it would be 1,000 times worse.
Probably.
I don't know.
Because, I remember when I made 20 ounces of the elderberry, and it took a cup of honey.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot.
Because we only have a relatively small jar, maybe that big of honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours, it was
Alexis was like, I'm going to use half of mine and I want to use half of yours. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's like, your honey. I was like, okay. She's like, this is what makes it good.
The honey. The local honey.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, we're going to
use store-bought honey. Well, no, I think it helps because the pollination,
it does. Yeah. But you could use store-bought honey, yeah. But I don't think it would work as well.
No, it probably wouldn't do anything.
Well, I mean, I've been using Walmart. It's called Sambacol. It's sold at Walmart and Walgreens, and that's not
does
local.
Does it taste
it
different? Have you noticed a different taste?
I don't taste
taste?
It. I have no clue.
Have you done that cool trick with the honey? Like, you put it in a cup with, water in it, and you swirl it around, and the honey will make the design of its comb that it came from?
No.
Or something like that? You should look it up. It's,
that's
pretty cool.
No, I haven't done that. Okay, let's do this really quickly. Not really quickly, but... Hello, welcome to Two Hexy Mamas. I am Karina.
And I'm Jessica.
That was so loud. Mine was, not yours.
I'm all the way back here.
No, not yours. Me.
Oh.
I was loud. Today is...
I was like, what are you talking about?
...is a special episode where we read your listener stories. So we have 3 listener stories to talk about today. If you want to send in a listener story so you can be in our next episode like this... then make sure you send it either, a DM on Instagram or on, what would be better is to send it on our email because I can flag the email so I don't lose it. And that's hexymamas@gmail.com. So, if you want to send a listener story, do that. But without further ado, here are those listener stories. So...
do you have to unplug your phone or do I have to reach over?
No, I can unplug it.
Oh. I didn't know if it was almost dead.
This first paragraph and then underneath it you'll see who sent the story in. Do you see what I'm saying?
Put this in your mouth hole?
That's what their Instagram is called.
Okay, so, put this in your mouth hole sent us a story.
Yes.
I've had odd dreams. I once woke up to a woman in white knocking on my balcony door. I opened it and she bit me on my neck. What the fuck? I woke up covered in blood. I probably had a nosebleed. And this one time, same bedroom growing up, I woke up to hooded men speaking to me in a language I didn't understand. I could barely move. At the time, I had this prop sword up against my bed. I was finally able to grab it and swung it to nothing in my room, but it still smelled of rotten eggs.
Ooh.
I I'm still shook about the old woman just coming up
biting your neck.
Biting your neck. Foreplay or
I doubt it. That was from this in your mouth hole on Instagram. These other two are our emails.
That is that name.
I know. So okay. So this one, it says, "Hi ladies, I'm writing about a recent trip I took to Missouri State Penitentiary, which Time Magazine dubbed the bloodiest 47 acres." Oh shit.
47.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
"I'm sorry if this story is too long, but it's so much happened. When we first got there, a black cat crossed in front of my friends and I. At first, I was confused because I didn't think there would be any animals around. Later in the tour, the guide told us of an inmate who had a pet one-eyed black cat. Who was accidentally killed by another inmate. Oh, no. Oh.
How rude.
They saw a ghost cat then. The inmate was, in turn, killed by the owner of the cat." Good, I get it. "When I asked my friends, let's call them Melissa and Doug."
Wait.
I'm such a mom, though, because I thought of the Melissa and Doug
That's what
toys.
I'm saying. That's exactly what I thought.
I'm so, like, that you, Melissa
they
and Doug
have really nice toys.
Have great toys. To moms, Melissa and Doug is a whole other thing. If they had seen the cat when we first walked through and they thought I was joking. Then we moved into cell block C. We were soon allowed to explore the cell block. Melissa has an intense fear of heights, so she stayed on the bottom floor while Doug and I made our way to the second floor. I kind of meandered around a bit before being drawn to cell 76. As soon as I stepped in, I immediately felt sick to my stomach. Doug pushed his way in, so I moved further into the cell. I reached out and touched the bunk. I instantly doubled over. I was overcome with fear and dread. As I pushed my way out of the cell, something happened, and it's hard to explain. A vision of a man with blood dripping from his eye sockets swam across my vision. It's not like I saw the man in the room, but he was there."
I know what she means, because I've had the same kind of, like,
really?
Feeling before. Do you remember I told you about when I was, like, walking up my driveway, and I had that vision, like, there was somebody in the yard?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's the same thing.
"I sprinted downstairs and collapsed on the ground. When Doug caught up to me, he wanted to know if I was okay. I explained what happened.
No, I'm not okay.
I'm not. Happened, and I could tell Doug didn't really believe me, but he was kind about it anyway. The weird thing is that nothing like this has ever happened to me before. Then we moved on to the dungeon. The dungeon was originally covered up during renovations when plumbing was put in. It was used at, like, a solitary confinement in the 1800s. But they put up to 15 people in a solid stone room. And sealed them in complete darkness. As we descended, into the shower room, a sickening coppery smell, blood, dominated the air. Don't mind the smell, said the tour guide, but there was no way you could not mind the smell. From there, we walked through the stone doorway into the dungeon. There were 8 chambers.
I'm getting anxiety as you're reading this for some reason.
And the tour guide had the group split up and squeezed into what is basically a tomb. Then they turned off all... Why would you do this? They turned off all the lights. Immediately, there was screaming. What do you expect when you shove high schoolers into a dark room? But eventually, people stopped screaming. Then you could hear whispering. At first, I thought it was someone around me, but it seemed to be coming from the ground. Then Doug was like, quit touching me, and I wasn't. And it wasn't me, and it wasn't Melissa. We tried to tell him, but he didn't believe us. The tour guide turned the lights on, and Doug's eyes widened as if he could still feel something touching him, but he knew it wasn't us. Nothing much happened after that, but we were getting on the bus. I noticed a long gash on Melissa's arm. I asked her about it, and she didn't even know that it had happened. Sorry for the long email, Austin Stewart." That's not a long email. That was great.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I have anxiety.
But you know that stuff happens all the time when you're in a complete dark thing. Like, people hear stuff because you can't see anything. So all your other senses
are focused just on your ears.
Are so heightened.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm...
That's why when we go to sleep, I like Jacob to have some sort of light on. So I don't hear things.
Yeah.
Light and noise.
I have to sleep with the TV on because the sound of silence freaks me the fuck out.
It bothers
like
me.
If I'm working up here or in, like, no one's home or I'm home alone, I have to have, like, an audiobook or a podcast playing at all times. Like, I can't just sit inside. Like, something has to be making noise.
Yeah, I hear voices. It's not fun.
A child is great for that. There's not often silent moments. All right, here, you can read the second one, or the last one, rather.
Where does it start at?
Where I scrolled it, so...
Okay. Hey, girls, so I'm not sure if this is going to count as scary, but I thought that I would send it in, and it's up to you whether I use it.
I didn't read it, so hopefully it is.
Up to you whether I use it. I grew up on a farm in rural New South Wales, Australia. We were 40, is it kilometers?
Yes.
From town, 30 minutes by car, 40 by school bus, and 15 minutes from the village. Between our house and the village was my grandparents and my uncle, so we all lived within 10 minutes of each other, which is that's pretty so nice. On my last day of year 6, before I started high school, my brothers had a sleepover at my uncle's house that night and were hanging out there for the day. But because the last day of school was always just a lazy day, I decided that I wanted to go. I was woken up by my mom at 7 a.m. Like, mom, she says mom.
Mm-hmm. She's Australian?
Yeah. Well, I...
That's just Australia. Didn't she say Australia?
Yeah. Let me double back. Yeah, Australia.
Yeah.
I was... woken up by my mum at 7 a.m. like normal. However, 11-year-old me picked up that something wasn't right straight away because my mum would normally say, Sophie, time to get up, flick on the light, and then leave me for 5 minutes. On this day, she didn't do that. Instead, she gently shook me awake, and once I was coherent enough to understand what was going on, she told me to get dressed in my uniform and come out to have breakfast in the kitchen, but I wasn't allowed in the lounge room. Straight away, I knew something was up, as our normal routine was that we'd get breakfast and sit in the lounge and watch TV while we ate. At first, I thought that this was a repeat of the snake up the chimney episode that happened when I was 5, but I couldn't hear my dad anywhere in the house. So I did...
Only in Australia.
So I did what Mom asked me to and walked out to the kitchen, peering into the lounge as I went to see if I could see what was stopping me from going in there. Mom was in the kitchen halfway through making herself a cup of coffee when she turned to me and in a hushed voice started to explain what was going on. The night before, the local bowling club, think lawn bowls, not lane bowling. Lawn bowls? What's a lawn bowl?
I don't know. Maybe they have like a lawn, like outdoor bowling?
No, she says not
lawn.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like L-A-W-N, like the lawn?
Yeah, L-A-W-N. Yeah. Had been robbed. Two guys had stolen cash and cigarettes before stealing the car and taking off towards the town 40 kilometers away. 10 kilometers out, the car broke down and the guys ditched it and started walking until they saw our house, which is easily seen from the main highway. They walked down our driveway, knocked on the door at 6:30 in the morning, and my dad, who was still dressed in his PJs, answered. They told him that their car had broken down and they were looking for some help. Dad explained that he wasn't a mechanic, but if they waited until 8 a.m., the school bus would be stopping at the front of gate to pick me up, and Pete, the driver, would be happy to give them a lift into town.
Oh, shit.
Mom was up by this time and had just made her own breakfast when the phone rang. She answered, and my uncle was on the other end asking what my dad was up to that day as he needed some help with some sheep, and then told her what happened in town. My uncle knew all the details as he was the president of the club. As he told her, Mom began to piece two and two together and then told my uncle about the two guys that Dad was talking to out front. My uncle said that he would call the police and then head up to our house. He'd be 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops. My mom then called my dad inside, claiming she was having problems with the oven and then informed him of what was going on.
Oh, God.
I'm getting anxiety.
That's so crazy.
They decided to keep the guys outside completely and that I was not allowed near the front of the house at all while they were still there. He then got dressed in his work clothes and went back outside to keep them distracted. 10 minutes after I was told all this, my uncle came down the driveway and my dad explained that his brother always dropped in. Dad and my uncle kept them busy for the next 20 minutes until two police cars came down our driveway. Seeing them put the two guys on edge immediately. Dad played it off, explaining that he knew that they were coming because it was time for the two-year gun checks. They come, check all guns are registered, and that they'd be stored correctly.
I wish they'd do that here!
Honestly. This seemed to settle the guys down a little, but not enough to not have Dad and my uncle ready to get their old football tackles ready. A feat that my uncle still claims he was willing to perform to this day. I'm not exactly sure what happened after that, as I was kept far away from everything that was happened. It breaks my little true crime heart. But Stop. By the time I had to go up to the bus, they had been arrested and were on their way to town. The robbery was the talk of the bus when I got on, and everyone was shocked when I told them what had happened just minutes before. Both the guys were convicted and sent to prison, and the last I heard, one of the guys was trying to get out on parole. So that's my scary story. I'm sorry that it's so long, but there is a bit of detail that needs to be added. It's also probably not as scary as the time a tippin slithered over my boyfriend's legs, but I figured that this would suit your podcast a little bit better than that. Cheers, Sophie, the bulletin board blog.
Oh, yeah. She's got a blog and an Instagram that's like a true crime. It's like a true crime blog.
That was so good. I loved that.
That, could you imagine?
No.
Like, try and be like, all right, we have these criminals in our house. Let's keep them occupied.
That's scary.
Could you, like, honey, go get our child while we...
Oh, my God.
At least they weren't murderers, but...
the thing is, like, I feel majority of people who murder do it out of, like, last resort kind of thing.
Well, maybe not always, but sometimes, yes.
I feel like majority of them. There are some who are like, I feel like I'm going to murder somebody today.
Today is the day.
But I feel like majority of them, it's, like, a last-minute thing. Like, it's not...
They could have done... Like, it's a good thing the uncle came because...
Uh-huh. Or he called.
Because had he not called.
Right.
They would have never known.
That's crazy.
The bus driver would have just... Yep. That's nuts.
That's crazy.
That was such a good story. Now, it makes total sense that she runs a true crime blog, because if that happened to me as a child, I would 1,000% do that. If that's a great example of you don't have... Your scary stories don't have to be...
Ghost or paranormal...
Yeah.
They can be anything.
I thoroughly enjoy a good crime story. Like, if you're like, my uncle met a murderer, I'd be like, great, tell me all about it.
Oh,
like,
did something, they think another person helped Kirby Wallace.
Go figure. We knew 1,000 people helped him.
They think somebody else helped him. He pleaded not guilty.
Of course he did.
I'm trying to think of other things that came up. I think that's it, as far as I know.
None of that surprises me in the slightest. None of it.
Somebody made a map of our town, and they sectioned it off into different things, and one of them was like the safe Walmart, and there's this big Stewart County / Woodlawn. It says Kirby Wallace. I'll have to show you.
It's true. If you guys want to send your stories, paranormal, true
crime.
That
was really quick. How long was that?
That was a good 20-something minutes.
Well, that was a quick one.
I would love to make these listener stories longer, like having more of them, but for the most part, they're just mini episodes.
They're pretty quick, yeah.
But I genuinely really love hearing other people's stories. Mm-hmm. So if you guys could send those, that would be great.
That first one is tripping me out. Could you imagine just waking up and seeing somebody like...
Well, could you imagine waking up and being covered? That's happened to Dylan before. He's woken up with a nosebleed, and like, that's such a panic thing.
Yeah, I never had a nosebleed.
I never had a nosebleed until I was pregnant, and then I had them all the time.
I wonder if it's like an iron thing.
When you're pregnant, it's because you have so much blood in your body.
Donate blood then if it's a case of you have too much blood in your
body. Panicked when I first, because like I never had a nosebleed in my entire life, and then all of a sudden I was pregnant and I was having them like crazy, and I was like, told my doctor, I was like, what is wrong? And she's like, oh, you just genuinely have so much blood in your body.
I also feel like... The face, nose,
well, Dylan's
is very vascular.
Dylan's, yeah, it is. But Dylan's is a lot of that, like, when we go to, like, dry areas, like, when we, or, like, when...
Like a dry nosebleed.
Uh-huh, like, where you're, like, the pressure changed, like, things like that. That's how he gets them.
Yeah.
Pregnant, it's because you have too much blood in your body.
I don't know.
Anyway, send in your stories to hexymamas@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and everything else, it's just 2 Hexy Mamas. Check the show notes for everything and keep it hexy. Goodbye.
That was so quick.
I don't know why I was being quick. It's already a short email. Or email. What is this? God damn it.
Podcast.
It's already a short podcast.
I'm so sleepy. I don't know.
Tillin's going to be like, this is the quickest you've ever recorded in your life. We're done. Yeah?
Oh, he's already up here. I hear him.